Father's Day is just around the corner, and you probably need a gift for your hairy dad. Make your dad proud this year and get him and yourself the Manscaped Lawnmower 4.0. You heard that right. The Lawnmower 4.0. Get 20% off and free shipping using the promo code HAYES. That's H-A-Y-E-S at manscaped.com. Use the promo code HAYES at manscaped.com. Final hour overdrive continues. TSN 1050 on the TSN app. Your home smart speaker and up on TSN 2. Brian Hazy, O-Dog, Jeff O'Neill, Jamie Noodles, McLennan. The U.S. Open is off and running down at Torrey Pines. My boy, Webb Simpson, he can keep his motor running tomorrow. Just keep the engine running, Webb, because he's 8 over and in the clubhouse. So he
Why
will
do
be
you
trunk
hate
slamming
him so
tomorrow.
Much? Because he wears suntan lotion?
And I've picked him a few times and he's gone south. There's no real animosity there. It's just he's not having himself a great day, not a great tournament. I'm just pointing that out. Mike,
hang on a sec. At the end of this show, do we do one dump and replacement, and then tomorrow one dump and replacement?
I like that idea. I really think there's a lot of potential there. The problem is there's
That'd
a lot of guys
right.
who are just getting out on the course because they had the fog delay. My boy, Garrick Higo, should be out there now if he's not already.
And Jerry
Higo. I have an hour to figure out whether or not I'm going to hold on to him. John Rahm's not going out until, I think, any minute now. But anyway, we'll figure that out. Yes, by the end of the hour, we'll talk. We'll have a conversation. If need be, via text tonight, in the group chat, 100% legitimate. Pictures will be taken.
How about this? We can't start picking and choosing. We will leave the integrity of this to the grappler to keep it fair and say, get our worst guy out and replace it with somebody reasonable that's in the mix.
Okay. I think that makes a lot of sense. Personally, Then we're not being stupid. It bothers me, though, that you have DeChambeau and Koepka because I don't think that should ever be allowed
right.
with these two. Well, I mean, one of us should have Koepka, one of us should have DeChambeau. You know, the way this is going to work out, if it's going to be a battle and a rivalry.
We can sniff.
Okay,
we can
I'll take Koepka, and you take DeChambeau, and I'm willing to trade someone for Brooks. We
John
can work
Rahm.
Something out there.
No. We can talk about nostrils after it's all said and done, and we look at a scoreboard.
All right, we'll talk tonight, all right? We'll figure that out. You guys know what you were doing, likely, with the rest of the world 27 years ago today? 27 years ago tonight? What do you think you were doing that almost everyone else in North America was doing?
27 years ago, so that I would be 23, or coming 23.
1994.
94. Was it the NHL draft? No.
No, it was the O.J. chase tonight.
Really?
27 years ago today, O.J. Simpson was... At that point, running for his life, and it turns out it was irrelevant because he got off on the charges. But
you can rent that vehicle. Do you know that?
I had no idea it still existed.
So it is like somebody bought it, and you can actually, I'm sure I've heard this, because you can go to L.A. and rent, you know, exotic vehicles. I think it's called like exotic vehicle rental, and the O.J. Bronco was one of them.
That's so creepy.
Isn't that creepy?
Why would you ever want to drive around in that? Like,
I don't know.
It's
got to
be one of the most famous cars in history, right?
The white Bronco?
The white Bronco. And, like, they just brought the Bronco back. It had, I believe, gone out of the rotation for quite some time. They had discontinued it, and they brought it back. It's actually a nice-looking truck.
I was going to say, the new Broncos are beautiful.
Yeah.
But I don't associate. You wonder if that business, like the Bronco, be interesting case study. Did the sales of those Broncos go south because of O.J.? People are like, I'm not buying. I'm not driving a white Bronco around.
It's O.J. And it wasn't – I don't think it was his car. It was Al Cowling's car, I believe.
I have no
was
idea.
Was it O.J.'s car?
I bought an old crappy, like a retro Bronco, but it was not because of O.J. Simpson.
Hope you weren't inspired by the O.J. chase.
Thanks,
at 60 miles an hour. That's the crazy thing. It was like slow motion. He was doing the speed limit down the highway.
Right, and everyone was clearing out. Remember how many cop cars were behind him? Like, couldn't a couple of the cop cars been like, you know, we're just going to take a break here. I think you got it. You know, like, do you need 45 cop cars?
Maybe
O.J.'s.
Like a couple guys pull in front of them and slow down and make the car stop.
That seemed like. Maybe
but apparently there were threats. If you come near me and
the guys had a gun and all of this stuff. And they knew They knew it was being televised. Like they knew it was being televised. There's a great 30 for 30 on this weekend in sports 27 years ago, where it was Arnold Palmer's last U.S. Open. The Rangers had just won the Cup. They were parading throughout Manhattan. The Knicks were in the NBA final. The O.J. chase. The World Cup was down in the States, the 94 World Cup. Like, it was just a wild weekend, and obviously completely overshadowed by the O.J. chase. But that was 27 years ago today, and 2 years ago today, we were down at City Hall for the Raptors parade. And it's weird because anything before COVID – doesn't feel that long ago, yet anything within the realm of COVID feels forever ago. That makes sense at all. Like, 2 years ago doesn't seem that long ago. I'm like, I remember every detail of going down there, stayed in a hotel the night before, got up, grabbed the coffee, walked down. Meanwhile, 6 weeks ago, I couldn't tell you one detail of anything I've done cloud of COVID.
You're totally right.
Well, the days just morphed together. I had no idea yesterday was Wednesday. No idea.
Yesterday was Wednesday.
Like, I had to, I got reminded by it. It's like, hey, I thought it was Thursday. Like, for the longest, it felt like we were getting close to the weekend. Like, yeah. I was, it's just weird how everything's morphed together. But you're right. Like, when life is normal, everything is crystal clear. You're like, yeah, that last weekend I was at the lake, or, you know, you were moving and shaking. Now
I remember, I swear, almost every detail about the parade. Like, I just had my youngest child, and we all went downtown together. We walked around. I remember I stayed at the hotel. They went home, and I went for a walk in the Toronto sign, and Raptors fans were out there, and they were putting everything up, like the banners and stuff. I'm like, this is wild. Like, Raptors did it. They actually did it. And I'm like, tomorrow, we knew it was going to be a beautiful day. And I was like, this place, I'm standing here in City Hall right now, and there's always people around. There were hundreds of people still scattered around, but I'm like, by tomorrow, there's going to be millions of people downtown. And there quite literally were millions of people. It was the most wild, insane parade I think we've ever seen.
We did a 12-hour radio show that day.
And we were grinding
for 12
hours.
With no water and food for the, like, we were begging. I remember the TV crew, Duffy and them had, like, air conditioning and fruit bowls.
Oh, they were just dialed in.
And we were like picking sandwich meat off the ground just to try and get anything into us. It was so hot.
Lord of the Flies.
And Duffy, then it got ruined.
Duffy and Lisa LaFlamme were getting fanned down with fans and being fed food, and we were looking for table scraps.
Yeah. Duffy was Julius Caesar. He was like an emperor down there. And we were just peasants just trying to get someone to acknowledge.
And then it got ruined by those idiots that shot a gun, or there was a shooting or something.
You talk
right?
about details that you remember, hitting the deck. Like, remember, we're all on the ground. We're like, what the hell is happening down here?
That was awful.
That was a wild scene. Joining us now on the Maple Toyota Hotline, here's our TSN hockey analyst, Ray Ferraro. I'm assuming, Ray, we just had this conversation 27 years ago tonight. All of North America was watching the O.J. Simpson chase, and I'm sure you were doing the same. I'm guessing you were in New York at that point. I think you were with the Islanders, maybe with the Rangers. But do you remember the details of that, just finding out about it and how wild the whole evening was?
Well, I recall going out for dinner, and, you know, there was some buzz going, you know, but not really knowing, because the media was so much different, right? And then coming back and watching, not comprehending exactly. Like, why is he driving down the road? Like, what is going on? Like, I didn't really catch the story early, and then watching it to its conclusion. Like, and then being just glued to it for, it seemed forever after that.
Right.
You know, like, trying to, like, who's Al Cowlings, and where's he going, and why is he going so slow, and what, you know, like, why don't they just pull the car over? And, like, it was bizarre beyond belief, right?
It really was. It was a movie playing out in real life, and like the play by play, Peter Jennings, and all the big anchors were on in the States, and it was being picked up on up here, and it was crazy. 27 years ago, everyone was watching the same thing, that was before Twitter and Instagram, to your point. But you had to find out through the grapevine, or happen to be watching TV, or someone had to call you, or else you may have missed it.
Well, the other thing I remember of all that time later was the day of the verdict. It was kind of, if I recall, it was like mid-afternoon in the East, and I was still with the Rangers, and we actually sat down to watch it. The verdict's at 2:00 or whatever it was. Mm-hmm. And everybody just like centrally focused on what's the answer going to be here? Like what, mm-hmm. It was just the most odd thing, man.
I'll never forget where I was, and I'm still in disbelief that he got off. That's the crazy part about all of this. Like, he's guilty as sin. They proved it even, with that guy, Cyril Waite or whatever, the guy, like the forensic guy. He was like, yeah, it's 99.999% his blood there. And no, he's good. The glove doesn't fit. It's all good, guys. Nothing to see here. It's ridiculous.
It's wild. And then the civil case, obviously we know what happened there. And then in the end, he ends up in jail anyway because of a completely different bizarre scene. Yeah. Armed robbery, going to get his own stuff, his own paraphernalia in Vegas. Wild. And speaking of Vegas, what a segue. That was not intended. Imagine I had that scripted at noon today. I'm going to go from OJ into the Vegas Habs game. That is textbook Montreal Canadiens success in the playoffs, isn't it, Ray? I mean, they played really well last night. They got a lead, a really low event game. Check everyone into the ground, throw your body around, block shots. When in doubt, Carey Price. That was impressive for them last night.
It was, but what I like, I don't find them boring, though. Like back in the day, the Islanders just choked the life out of the building. You couldn't even watch, or the Devils, you couldn't even watch. Like, nothing happened. And then if they scored first, you'd be like, oh, it's over. I don't feel that way watching Montreal. Like, there's still enough happening. There's still, I think they play pretty fast. And, I said at 3-0, like, this game's, about 3-0, it's over. And we had some friends that were at the house, and they're from the Netherlands, actually. And the guy says, no, I don't think it's over yet. And I'm like, what do you know about hockey? It's like, nothing, but I don't think it's over. And then all of a sudden it's 3-2.
Yeah.
I don't know. I thought they did a great job last night, and yet, they're hanging on by their fingernails at the end too. It's like, I don't know. I think they played about as well as they could play. I was impressed with, like, Petrie's in there and he's hanging on as best as he can and playing as well as he can with, one hand, and that makes a difference for them. Yoel Armia, if they could bottle that guy, he'd make $6 million a year.
No kidding.
Yeah.
Like, because there's sometimes you're like, well, I don't know what he's doing. Where did he go? But last, like, how he's played now, that guy is good.
Yeah.
He played heavy last night. Yeah, he did. And Petrie, in particular, I mean, he's got the Cyclops eyes going, and he's dealing. I don't know what he's dealing with. They announced it last night, and I tried to look it up, but he battles, man, and he's got a bit of a mean streak, right? Like, he's got a little bit of a mean streak. He got called on, I thought, a bit of a corny penalty last night, and he wasn't happy, and he wasn't going to put up with anything. And he's a big part of what they do, right? Like, their top four defense and Price, that's kind of the core of how they defend, clearly. That goes without saying. But they got size, and you got to fight for every inch on the ice.
Well, I may be an underrated – loss for Vegas is Chandler Stephenson. Mm-hmm. And I don't know, maybe a month or 5 weeks ago, Dregs and I had Max Pacioretty on our podcast, and we said, who's the guy that surprised you the most? He's like, oh man, Chandler Stephenson, he's a number one center. Well, really? He's like, he's so good. I would have never guessed that. And you take him out of their lineup, and what's interesting is the guy that theoretically replaced Stephenson is Waugh, or rather is Patrick Brown. Patrick Brown made a mistake on the first goal, on Armia's goal. Waugh made a mistake, who replaced the line that Stephenson played on. He made a mistake on the second goal. So the you know, the importance of him in that lineup is obviously was pretty critical last night. And, you know, now they're trailing the game, they're chasing the game, and Montreal's built for that.
They've proven that nine times.
And we were saying before you came on, Ray, like at some point, and I know they've got this amazing formula, but at some point they're going to have to, like, try and win a game from behind. Because if you give up the first goal, you can't go like, that's it, you know, it's not working tonight type of thing. Like, that's the challenge. And at least getting back to Montreal where you've got last change. And I was saying to the guys earlier, I liked their adjustments for last night's game as far as, you know, slowing Vegas down, especially in the neutral zone. I didn't think there was much ice for Vegas's speedsters to get going. I thought Montreal was really good at checking and getting in lanes and frustrating that group.
But don't you think, like, that's why I'm not bored watching them. They skate to take away the space. Like, they're fast to take away the space. Like, I'm kind of interested with the way that they play. They're not dissimilar from the Islanders in that regard. Like, the Islanders aren't boring. Like, Montreal would love to get some man advantage breaks. They try for them. You know, they score the Byron goal last night. That's speed, right? And so I'm kind of interested by them. But they did take away a lot of space. There was not a lot of places for for Vegas to get out and run and gun last night. Maybe the key is, can they keep Vegas's forwards off the board? Because they've done it for two games. If they do that, they've probably got a pretty good chance.
Ray, we took calls earlier in the show, and one of the callers said that Fleury could be a possible X factor going back to Montreal, and maybe there's a chance he could stub his toe and kind of revert back to 4 or 5 years ago. What do you make of that nonsense?
4 years ago? Like, this is what I think I don't know if Jack Campbell's going to be as great next year as he was this year for the most part, but this year, that's who Jack Campbell is. Like, we've all had a career year, and in that year, that's who you are. Fleury's not going to be like he was 4 years ago. It's not even the same guy. It's not even close. And what's he going to be nervous with 3,500 fans in the building? The guy's 35 years old. No, I don't. That's the X factor is he might shut the door for two games, just like Carey Price might just slam it shut for two games.
Mm-hmm. Well, to be fair to the caller, who was a smart guy and
the caller's name was Brian Hayes, because
We don't take calls on the show.
You set me up? That's
of course.
It was such a stupid take. I had to say it was a caller.
But you didn't even
said
appropriately phrase it naturally. You spun it.
Oh,
which,
boy, this is just a Hayes hypothetical.
No, it wasn't a hypothetical.
Phil Kessel, Sidney Crosby,
it wasn't a hypothetical.
He's back.
What I said earlier today was, if I'm in Montreal, that's what I'm hoping for, the ultimate X factor to be Fleury stumbling here. I didn't think he looked good last night. He was fallen. He looked uncomfortable to me. I didn't think he had a good game. I found it interesting in the first period of game one, he's trying to fight Gallagher. Like, it was 10 minutes into the game, and he's snapping. And he's a French-Canadian going back to Montreal, and his history in the playoffs is well documented. It's been very good at times, very good, and it's been shaky at times. So if I'm Montreal, I'm hoping that I'm getting the glass half-empty Marc-Andre Fleury. And if I'm betting on one of the two goalies to continue to be stable, it's Price. I think Price will just keep rolling. That doesn't mean he's going to dominate and the Habs are going to win. I think Vegas still will. But Fleury, to me.
So that almost sounds like it's also possible Carey Price could turn into April Carey Price.
Potentially.
Regular season Price.
But there's a lot more up and down in Fleury than there is in Price.
Not this year.
Not this year.
Not this year. We hung up on the guy.
Not this year, but last year.
You know what's funny, though? When you said you took callers, my first thought was, why?
Man, we're doing 2 hours. We're missing an hour because of the Euros, but we're going to take calls.
I was embarrassed for you, so I said it was a caller.
Well, listen, we'll see what happens. I mean, he's, to me, it goes without saying you need goaltending, but let's not whitewash Marc-Andre Fleury's history. You know, like 4 or 5 years ago, he wasn't even playing. Matt Murray was playing. He got outplayed. Matt Murray played.
4 years ago. Four years ago.
Yeah, but that's last year. Who was playing in net in the playoffs? Was it Fleury or Leonard?
Leonard.
It was Leonard.
Both.
It was mostly Robin Leonard. So let's see. I mean, he's been unbelievable this year. It's up for
and,
the Vezina.
And the reason Fleury's playing this year is because Leonard played in the playoffs last year.
Yeah. Well, it's because Fleury outplayed him this year and deserves the
right.
position.
That, because it's this year, just like Leonard was the goalie last year, new year. New Fleury. Yeah,
we'll see.
I hope you're right.
I don't even think of it.
I don't know. Were you the guy that changed the CN Tower to red, white, and blue?
No. I would never do that.
Are you like Canada's team now? I think this is you.
No, I'm not. I'm not. Listen, I'm trying to find ways where if I'm in Montreal, I'm feeling incredibly optimistic about Montreal because it's 1-1, you're coming home. Like, they've had a great 3 weeks, great month. I think they're overperforming based on how I think they are as a team, but it doesn't matter how I think they are as a team. They're playing really, really well. But I still think Vegas is better and Vegas is going to win. So I'm trying to find ways at how this is going to play out, and I think one of them very well could be Fleury. If he's shaky, that opens the door. That's a great equalizer for Montreal.
I can hardly wait for your next call in.
Well, we'll see what happens, man. I guess we'll find out the answer in 7 or 8 days.
Ray, we're going to start.
I took a caller yesterday from a guy that was convinced Vegas was going to spank the team 5-1, and he didn't have the stones to call back in today.
That guy's a jerk as well.
That guy is
a jerk. Himself.
That was his Jerry's percentage. That's what his Jerry's
Absolutely.
Percentage was.
In fact, he called 2 sweeps, that guy. We had another guy who called in saying the Islanders would get swept and the Habs would get swept.
Yeah. Well, we got a caller yesterday, Ray, that should be playing golf left-handed.
You've opened up a Pandora's box here. Yeah. With the call-in.
We'll have to do a trivia with Ray. Was this a comment from a caller? Or, well, it's obvious because
we never take callers, so it's never
caller or us.
I was interested in your Twitter picture of that guy 200 yards off the fairway. Like, what was going on there?
I know. I had to delete that because there was pictures on my phone that were I didn't crop that picture, but it was my boy Hazy, who was 195 yards left of the fairway in the fescue. And
that's when I caught you taking that picture, too.
I know.
So you had taken multiple pegs.
No, just the one. Just the one.
I was way off.
I'm convinced more than ever, and Ray, you can weigh in. This guy's a natural left-handed athlete. He should play golf left-handed, and he just won't give it a shot.
Never.
And I'm dead serious, and I don't know why he doesn't do it.
Can't do it.
What's your handicap right now, Brian?
Probably a 12 right
Dude,
now.
Dude, you're a 15 or 20. I'm sorry. You shot 100 the other
day. I shot 84 with you literally 2 days ago. One over on the final seven. You were there. One over on the final seven.
Ernie L's on the final seven.
Noodles, are you not entertained with their lack of consistency? You shot 100. I shot 84. You're not even close, you guys.
Dude, the scorecard, why would I lie about that?
Ray, here's the best. This is what this guy does. We have a match with some heavy hitter guys, some big league guys, and I say Hayes is my partner. And as soon as I said it, I'm like, this guy's home course. What are we going to do? This guy proceeds to go out there and hit duck snorts for 14 holes. Like, couldn't get the ball. 11 holes. He couldn't get it airborne. We walk off a green, and Donnie Nichols, our buddy, goes, well, I guess that closes out the match. This guy morphs into Tiger at Pebble as soon as the match is over and starts drilling it down the middle, making putts, and strutting off the green. I want to look at him and say, what do you think you're doing?
It's the reverse sandbag. I'm a good guy. I don't want to... You know, I don't want to take over the match. I want everyone to feel comfortable. Once the chips are off the table, then it's go time. Then I hustle when there's nothing on the line.
It tells me you've got BBs.
That's exactly what it was. You know. That's exact because that's happened to me multiple times. It's when the money's off and paid for, I'm like dialed in. Not a good sign. When the lights are on, it's not a good sign. Islanders Tampa tonight, Nassau Coliseum, packed barn. I don't think Tampa's going to care, but what do you see happening tonight?
Wouldn't you? Wouldn't you like to be there tonight?
Oh,
like in there? That'll be a fun, crazy night in there.
Oh, yeah.
I think they'll split these two games. Like I think Tampa's going to win, but I think this is a really hard series, but I do believe they'll split these two games in New York.
I would love to be there. I'd go to Vincent's Clam Bar for a little pregame. It would be about a 3-pound meal for sure, the dipping sauce and everything, and I would sleep like a baby for about 4 hours. And then go catch this game. This would be an unbelievable game.
It's probably rocking right now, isn't it?
Oh,
all over Long Island. Be rocking tonight. Yeah, it'll be a fun one.
Right over to the Marriott Noodles, little nap.
Yeah,
walk across the parking lot.
Yeah, get some hockey cards of yourself that have been nailed onto a 2x4, and you sign them for a guy, and then he'll ask you for a stick. He'll give you the 2x4 and be like, "Would you like your hockey card nailed to the 2x4?
Jamie, when you're 18 or not, I was 19. I'm like, this is so cool, man. This guy gave me a piece of wood with four hockey cards glued on it. I'll give you a stick, my gloves, anything you want. And you take it home, you're like, what is this piece of wood with hockey cards on it?
It is. It's ridiculous.
That's 8 years later, you're like, beat it, loser, get away from me.
I loved it.
Well, that'll be happening tonight. We'll see how it plays out.
I gotta tell you that the first time I stayed in the Marriott as a member of the Islanders, so I got traded 1 year. The next year we're at training camp. And we're sitting there and eating breakfast, and we look over, and Mean Gene Okerlund is eating breakfast there because his son Todd was in camp. And we're like, that's Mean Gene. It was like we were starstruck for Mean Gene to be in the restaurant. He was just there watching his boy, right?
Right.
But it was like, oh, man, I hope he does some kind of audition or like some kind of introduction somewhere.
The best
voice. He was
just
the dad watching his guy, right? You know, oh, he was the best.
Best voice. He had the look down. He never looked different ever. The stash, the bald head. Yeah. He was the best. Mean Gene Okerlund. All right, buddy. Well, we'll leave it there. Enjoy the game tonight. We'll break it down tomorrow at 5.
Yep. Talk to you then, boys. Have a great day.
There's Ray Ferraro, TSN hockey analyst, joining us here on the Maple Toyota Hotline. They take away the fears of buying a pre-owned vehicle by sharing service history, lien history, and accident history. Find out more at MapleToyota.com. Graham Dillette will join us. What's up with Torrey Pines? Is it playing tough enough? Similar scores to when they're there for the Farmers. That shouldn't be the case, right? U.S. Open, it's got to play tougher, but what are you going to do? I mean, the course is what it is. Catch up with Graham, get his take on that. Adam Hadwin had himself a really quality day earlier today as well. We'll touch on that. Overdrive continues, TSN 1050 and on TSN 2. All right, the Jays back in action tonight. TJ Zoik has been added to the roster, and he will get the start tonight. Rafael Dolis has been moved to the 10-day IL with a right middle finger strain.
Dolis, I love Dolis.
There he goes.
Yeah, I love his performance, dude, but he's got the wind-up, like the care meter on the wind-up looks like a co-ed slow pitch kind of effort.
He's
like
the slowest pitcher in baseball.
Dude, and it's like you never give him, like he can't feel your hand, and you look at him and say, dude, do you even really care?
He cares enough to be on the 10-day IL now.
I know.
And Carl Edwards Jr. has been moved to the 60-day IL, so I'm not sure we're going to see Carl anytime soon, if at all. Tons of injuries here with the Jays. But the golf report is brought to you by your Ontario Subaru dealers. Adventure on safely in a Subaru. Torrey Pines is playing tough. I mean, it's an incredibly tough course. They're playing Torrey Pines South. But the numbers on this tournament and the Farmers, where they play both the North and the South in the first couple of rounds, are pretty similar right now in terms of scoring. And to chat about it, we're joined now by one of our good buddies, longtime PGA Tour pro, TSN golf analyst Graham Dillette. What's happening, Graham?
Fellas, how are you?
Doing very well. Are you looking at this hoping Torrey Pines for the U.S. Open plays significantly more difficult than it would for the Farmers a few months ago, or does that not really matter to you?
It will. There's no question. I was out walking around, well, kind of the last couple of days, and then for half the morning here this morning. And even though the scores right now are kind of reflecting maybe not much of a difference, it is a different golf course. It's so much firmer and faster. I've never seen it, like, balls bounce on the green. And it's not like these cement greens yet, but that's Thursday morning, and we got a long ways to go. And it's been sunny here all day. There's just a nice steady breeze. It's not super windy, but it's not calm by any means either. And those are just perfect conditions for the course to dry up and get fast and firm. And I think even just from the morning rounds to the afternoon rounds today, you're going to see a pretty good difference. And as the week goes on, depending on how much water they decide to put on the golf course, they can kind of make this as difficult as possible. And the cool thing about this golf course too is that if it's dried and super fast, and like it won't get out of hand like we've seen some of the past U.S. Opens, because there's not these big fall offs around the greens where guys can putt the balls off the green and ends up like 20 yards away type of thing. Like all the greens are perimeter basically by some thick nasty rough, and it is super thick. I've walked out around with a couple guys during the practice rounds here on Tuesday, Wednesday, and it's going to get tough. Believe me.
Do you think what Bryson did at the past U.S. Open, Graham, would it change any of the other players' perspective on approach? Usually this week they say to themselves, fairways, greens, got to hit the straight, got to get the driver in order. But this guy just went to wing foot and started mashing it all over the place, and he didn't really concern himself ultimately where the golf ball ended up. He just said, I'm going to hit it as far as I can. And I'll have a wedge in my hand when everyone else is having, have a four iron in their hands. Do you think that got to other guys, or is that just for him?
I think guys probably changed their thought process for a little bit. But I was actually here on Tuesday, Wednesday I was hanging out in the equipment trailer. I was talking to some guys about, this 48-inch driver and this and that. And it's not really something that is probably going to happen. The guys have kind of messed around with it. But the thing is, like, the heads aren't built for it. The shafts aren't built for it, and it's going to be a complete change of equipment before guys can really do this. And I was even talking with Ben Showman, who's the head guy for Cobra Puma, and he was saying, it was a pretty short-lived experience with the 48-inch driver. So I think what Bryson is doing and did, it has merit, obviously, because he won the U.S. Open doing it. But that week he also, his short game was completely dialed. He was making tons of putts, and I think he was, ranked – very high. I don't have the stats in front of me, but I remember seeing his statistics around the greens, and that's where he actually won that golf tournament. And I think it's going to be really hard to overpower this golf course if you're not hitting it in the fairway, unless you're doing all the rest of the good things. And these greens are kind of small, and the angles are a little bit different here. And if you are in this heavy rough, even with a sand wedge in your hand, it's sometimes going to be tough to just hit the golf, just to hit the green.
We've been talking a lot about Bryson versus Koepka. What about at the course and within the ropes of the PGA Tour? How much buzz is there for that battle and that potential matchup down at Torrey Pines?
I think that everyone just kind of thinks it's comical, in all honesty. I mean, the Tour kind of brought this all on themselves with this PIP program, in all honesty. And, they're trying to create buzz and, followers and likes and that kind of stuff on Twitter. But I think it's comical, and I think it's been pretty one-sided. If you look at it from a chirp standpoint or anything like that, I mean, Bryson's pretty much one-upped him everywhere along the way, and then his trophy case also looks a little bit better too. So I think it's been pretty one-sided.
What does the regular dude on tour think about this PIP program? I don't even know what the hell that stands for, but the best players are just going to be thrown a pot of $40 million, it's just, if you're the regular dude out there grinding and you're still a good player, but you're not just on that level, what are you making of that nonsense?
Yeah, I think, I remember when it first came out, I was like, well, this is a popularity contest, is all it really is. But then, I think it was their, the PGA Tour's kind of way of trying to, slow down the traction that this World Golf Tour is starting to gain. And that's exactly who, they want to keep all their top players, so it was put together to basically, give their top players more money. I mean, that's pretty easy, or that goes without saying. But, initially when it first came out, I'm like, well, this isn't really fair. But then I'm like, well, these guys are the ones who do move the needle. So if anyone's going to, get the money and they deserve it, then they're the reason we're all playing for these big purses anyway. So, even the average guy out here is doing pretty well. So there's no real complaint.
with Graham Dillette. Phil Mickelson into the clubhouse. He's finished his first round 4 over par, and listen, he can still battle. He can still make the cut. Maybe make some noise. But a guy his age, when you consider what he just accomplished, I think he probably had to shoot pretty low today. Didn't he, to kind of stay in this tournament? Like, what? I know it's Torrey Pines and it's his course, but what are the chances Phil can make any noise after a 4 over Thursday?
I would say they're pretty slim now. I mean, he wouldn't have to really gone low today, but I mean, if he was kind of 1 over, even 2 over, you're kind of still right in the mix because, but the thing is now he's going off tomorrow afternoon where it's going to be even more difficult, most likely, than it is this afternoon. And he had probably the best scoring conditions of the week here on the Thursday morning. So to shoot 4 over in those and to try to get back in this golf tournament is going to be an uphill struggle, that's for sure.
Before we get you out of here, we always like to ask, look, we're not going to name any particular one person, but at this venue, with some fan in the air, tips, what does about a 12 or 13 handicap shoot on that golf course?
Right now, even on the Thursday morning, the easiest it is, a scratch handicap, I think it would be pretty difficult to break 90.
What about a 13 handicap?
A 13? I have no idea. But, you know, like a lot of people ask me, and like all you can say sometimes on Twitter, I'm like, a scratch handicap couldn't break 85 out here today. And then everyone comes in, I play with scratch handicaps. All my buddies are scratch handicaps. I know, like, they're good golfers, but there's such a massive disconnect between a scratch handicap and a +7. It's the difference between a 7 and a 0, like, that's a big difference, and that's pretty much what it is. So, you know, people get upset, but, yeah, I would say 90 would be a good score for a scratch.
Okay. So, scratch +30, you know, 103, 105 tips, Torrey Pines. I like it. I'll take your word. That's probably what I would shoot at Torrey Pines South from the tips. Good stuff, Graham. Enjoy it down there, buddy. We'll do it again soon.
All right, guys. Have a good one. Thanks.
There's Graham Dillette, our TSN golf analyst, longtime PGA Tour pro. +7. Imagine being a +7 handicap.
I played with a bunch of guys in Florida, +4s.
Wow.
I mean, but all you have to do to get there, I was a +2 at one time. I was shooting 68 twice a week, so it's like you fire that thing in the computer, the computer's like, oh, whoa, what the hell's going on here?
Oh, yeah.
And then you go out the rest of the time and you shoot 1 or 2 over, you just get rinsed.
Man, it's because obviously there's a lot of science behind it, like handicap in golf, needless to say. Like there's a lot of people that use it, a lot of for tournaments, for money games, for whatever it is. You're playing Nassau's. Like you need to know your number because a lot of it is pride. And I admit there are times where I've been like, I'm playing at an 8 or a 9. It's like, no, you're probably playing out at a 12. Those 3 or 4 strokes that you give up that you should be taking can cost you a lot of money, a lot of strokes, a lot of pride. You got to know your number. Right. You have to know your number. And if you're too proud and you're like, no, I'll play at a 7, it's like, all right, we'll just take your money. Like, you're going to donate here.
Yeah, rinsing.
Yeah, because you should be playing at a 12. So go ahead. I'll take those 5 extra strokes I shouldn't be taking. And it's a great equalizer. But, yeah, like, I wonder what Tiger – we could probably find this out. But, like, Tiger in 2000 –
was a +7.
Is that as low or high as you can get,
I think,
guess?
That's as low as you can get.
Yeah.
I think +7, there's no such thing as a better handicap than a +7.
Yeah, that's what I would assume. I mean,
that
so
means
far.
It's like you're shooting 65 basically 4 times a week, and then you might shoot a 62 at your home course and a bunch of even pars. It's like you the computer's basically saying you're the king of the county here.
Right. Like you're as good as it gets.
Yeah.
Like, don't even fill this in. Like, what does Tiger need to fill in?
No.
Thank you, Tiger. Like, it would respond, thanks, Tiger. We got you. You're the only guy in the country with these scores.
That would be cool to be
it would be pretty cool.
Are you keeping your handicap? Like, are you punching it?
Yeah, I am. I'm punching it in. I made the mistake because I'm a hero, like, as you know. And when I put up good numbers, we were out with our buddy Lawrence. Right, Lawrence Applebaum of Golf Canada.
Dude,
Lawrence,
you got to move on from that one time you shot 76.
It's not one time. I shot multiple times. I've shot in the 70s. But the point
being
is, yes, I have. With the grappler, I shot 76 last
year. I don't know who said it the other day. It was someone at your course said, "Oh yeah, you know, you did play good at up with Lawrence over there up at TPC Toronto, and I was like, this guy's telling everyone about one round of his life.
The reason I've told that story is because I never used to keep it, and I use the Golf Canada app.
So do Lawrence I.
Exactly. You have to, and it's the best one going for keeping the cap.
By the way, how many scores do you got to dump into that before they give you a cap?
Well, I think you got to have 10.
Oh, okay.
And then what it does is keep your last 20. So once you've hit 20, like if 21 rounds ago you shot a 90, that goes. If you shot a 65, it goes, whatever it is. But what I'm saying is that was the first score I put in, which is completely ridiculous.
Bogus.
It's not exactly like I don't play at that level, but it's a part of the cap for me right now. And that's not what I'm ever going to shoot is my point. Because Lawrence is like, here, you got to use it. I'm like, all right. He's like, you shot a 76, put that in. I'm like, okay. But it's erroneous. Like, I'm not going to shoot that so I'm doing myself a disservice by playing at a cap that includes that number, because that's just not going to happen, you know, is the point. Yeah.
It corrects itself. Trust me. That
over
thing
time,
disappears.
It'll correct
it,
itself.
It disappears because it'll never
disappear.
Happen again. Not from what I've seen.
Well, listen, you literally were there when I shot 76. You were my partner that day.
I know.
Was he brilliant?
Did I shoot 76 or not?
Dude, you beat me by 2 shots because I shot 74.
Yeah, I mean, based on the capping and stuff.
But the point is, I was there. I watched it. But the point is, since that peak performance... I haven't seen anything close to that.
He scored a hat trick that night, so
exactly.
he can live off that hat trick. That's it.
That's right.
This guy's Pavel Brendel on the golf course. Just light it up, and then you just can't find him.
But it's the truth, though. Like, you literally were there. It's not like I'm trying to tell you a story secondhand.
It isn't. It isn't.
You
I just
there.
Want you to
you
get
–
I did, Chris Farley, 100%. At behind the power plant. I was there. I that saw it.
100% legitimate card, signed, sealed, delivered. So – yeah, it's coming up. There's people that are going to have to know about that. And I'll be talking about that round for a long, long time. But
yep, yeah,
the cap itself,
a good round.
It is what it is. Thank you, Noodles. I appreciate that.
Jerry's percentage on you breaking that number this summer?
51%?
No.
51%.
No, you know the answer, Hayes. You know the damn answer to the question.
Did you say 6%, Noodles?
I said 6%, but you got a late start to golf.
Right.
You don't have that much. Yeah. Like, to
subtract
me,
subtract
6
from
lower.
That percentage is what your percentage
any
is.
Track? Any track?
Any track. Upper Unionville, the whole nine.
What about Dreger's Goat Track?
Oh, dude, I'd shoot a 68 at Dreger's Goat Track.
Yeah. I would
51%.
Like to see it.
I'm into the majority that I shoot 75 at some point this summer.
There you go.
What's
I'll bet
your
you 500. It's zero. You're not doing it. You're not shooting 75. I'm telling you right now.
Okay. We'll see what happens.
I'll bet you $500 right now.
There's no point in betting, dude, because if you're not there, you're not going to believe it anyway. You're not going to believe it. Like, if I come on here, you're just
going to
say
that didn't happen. Dude, no bet. But if I'm with you and you do it, I'll just hand over 500.
Okay. Fine. Tuesday. Make sure you're ready.
It's dude, happening. I'll give you $5 million if you break 70, 76 at my golf course on Tuesday.
Oh, you think so?
$5
million. Okay. Be ready. And make sure those facilities are ready. I need a shower before the round.
No, you're
stretch.
Not pulling that one. The other
Brando.
Guy's coming, too, that does that.
Brando's
He's not doing
coming.
That.
He's
Brando.
Doing it. He and I,
yeah,
we have a certain routine, and we need
That's
it.
Awesome.
We have high standards. We'll tee up the Jays tonight. Islanders Tampa overdrive continues. TSN 1050 and on TSN 2. All right, KD and the Nets taking on the Bucks. I am looking forward to seeing that one tonight. The Islanders in Tampa, Nassau Coliseum. And from a Toronto standpoint, it's about TJ Zoic, the bullpen. I mean, what can you really expect out of Zoic tonight? Can he get you 5 innings? I mean, you have to hope so, but...
That's
they got to get a win.
That narrative gets tired for me when you watch a monster like Gerrit Cole. I think Gerrit Cole would have pitched 12 innings straight last night if he could.
He looked fine. But like why do that when you have Chapman waiting?
Like, no, I know. But he looks like if he doesn't pitch at least 7, he's pissed.
Yep. That's a horse.
I know.
That's a horse.
And it's just like we're looking at these guys. Could this guy give us 2? Could he give us 3? Could he give us 5? It's like. The guy, you can't get a Jerry Cole, but can you get something close?
Well, you got a TJ Zoic is what you have tonight, hoping Zoic-y. To avoid a sweep. That's what the Jays are dealing with tonight,
yeah,
and it's
going to
be a pro-Yankee crowd again, right? So we'll see. It'll be pro-Bucks crowd, pro-Islanders crowd, likely pro-Yankees crowd. So that more coming up. Evening golf, too, down at the U.S. Open. They're going to be playing until like 10 o'clock tonight, maybe
love
later,
it.
11 o'clock. Love it. I love it. Can't wait. Prime time. We are out of here. Enjoy your evenings. Enjoy the games. We're back tomorrow at?
KD, you the real MVP. 4 p.m.
We'll chat then.